CITR 101.9 FM, located on Coast Salish, unceded Musqueam territory of the Hunkmeenum speaking Coast Salish people. Welcome, episode 38. Song tonight is Cecil Taylor Quartet, Sweet and Lovely. Peace. What you listen to right now is the Cecil Taylor Quartet, Sweet and Lovely. The free jazz legend Cecil Taylor has died this past weekend at the age of 89 in his Fort Greene, Brooklyn home. Touted as one of the main innovators of avant-garde and one of the main out-of-the-box jazz musicians that helped define the generation, along with the ranks of Coltrane and Ornette Coleman. He helped change what jazz could be. He began piano lessons at age 5 at the wish of his mother, who had an immense influence on him, regardless of the fact that she passed away when he was a teen. He said, "I was tap dancing when I was 6. I was entering contests for young virtuosos. I was never a young virtuoso, but she tried to make me. So I was playing Chopin when I was 6 and all this nonsense." He formed his first band in 56 with saxophonist Steve Lacy, releasing his first recording, Jazz Advance, which you're hearing right now. Within 5 years from then, he released another 11 records, including one with John Coltrane entitled Coltrane Time. In 2001, Tony Oxley said, "To play with Cecil Taylor, you need the stamina of an athlete and the imagination of a god." Cecil went on to form many ensembles as well as composed lots of solo works right up until the time of his death. Apart from music, he was interested in poetry, literature, theater, dance, architecture. He was active in all of these, except the last. He said he was not interested in separations between these. He said he was discovering and becoming more aware every day of their similarity. Although the nature of the material is different, the process of building the structure are very similar. Of his style, he said, he had the energy of European composers, their technique, consciously, and blended that with traditional music of the African-American to create a new energy. According to The Guardian, he said, at a panel discussion in 64, "There is one advantage that one has in being of an oppressed group, that if one gets out of the gutter, one can see everything from different points of view. One can assimilate everything because one knows what one is, and that people who are enmeshed in situations of subjugation and have to live have to find ways to protect their dignity as human beings, in spite of all efforts to degrade them." He said that the music is a manifestation of the dignity in the life that has always been present. It has been present in any art, the joy and the sorrow. So we say farewell to Cecil Taylor, and may his music live on forever. A lot of eclectic music tonight. The whole first part of the mix is up tempo. So for all you 10 o'clock dancers, you better get ready, because we're going to kick it off with Lakeisha Benjamin out of New York. She's played with Stevie Wonder and has a lot of great music out. I just found out about her today. This song is called Get Down from 2012. You're listening to Ninth Wave on CITR 101.9 FM, episode 38, with your host, Ayo the Knot. Welcome. Better be dancing. Peace to Sean O. Peace to Sean O. Next up, Tanika Charles, Waiting, off her Soul Run album, 2016. CITR 101.9. See the Light, Shiro Schwartz. Hey. Nowhere. The song is called Here Comes the Big One, featuring Dave Binney. They will be in town June 27th at the Imperial. You're not going to want to miss that. Some other shows going on in town that you might want to check out. April 15th, coming right up this Sunday, Moonchild is playing at the Biltmore. April 20th and 21st, Manu Crooks with Solo Key. Kerrang! Bin is playing at the Rickshaw Theater on April 27th. Also April 27th, Flatbush Zombies at the Vogue. April 28th, Georgia Smith at the Biltmore Cabaret. May 3rd, The Sorority, who I'm about to play, matter of fact. They're playing at the Fox Cabaret. May 8th, Unknown Mortal Orchestra is at the Commodore Ballroom. Joy Badass at the Vogue, May 12th. May 18th, So Super Sam from the Selection Crew is playing at Fortune Sound Club. And a big one for me, Kamasi Washington is playing June 24th at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. And then, as I said, Nowhere, the band you just heard, is playing at the Imperial June 27th. We're going to get into Sorority, who will be in town, like I said, on May 3rd. And then we're going to get into a conversation with some friends in the studio. Make yourselves known.
Hello, everybody, to Vancouver. My name is Dylan Humphreys. I'm a local visual artist and painter, cartoonist, comic artist.
And we have Chelsea in the studio as well.
Hi, I hope everyone is doing well.
And so we're going to play a couple more songs and we're going to get into interview slash just conversation with them. You're listening to CITR 101.9, Ninth Wave, episode 38. This next song is On Me by the Sorority. off their upcoming album.
Get it.
Yo, big up to all the Toronto massive them in the place right now, you know what I'm saying? It's right up on the track. It's after it's and the time to come through, nothing can stop it.
I like a selection, I guess. I like the attention I get. I like my reflection 100, my fire complexion like butter, desire, reflection like touching. Okay, arrive with this, but I smell like Ole. I'm fire already.
Out of Toronto, if I didn't mention. Decide is mine, I never sell
my domain. The most visited.com is my own. Why you swinging them pom poms? Run my poems and it's giving them lockjaw. I'm at home when I'm singing them songs, dog. Religious, I'm not, but I honor God. Not delicious, I'm starving for Ramadan. So my mind clear and my body cute. In my high heels and my body suit.
Yo, fire. Who's that over there? 6'5 with a tats in a chair, yo. Right there, with the proper demeanor, hairline clean with a smile like cleaver. Shish, leave it to me then. I could give them one night, have them beg to repeat in this groundhog season. To the fall of the men like the garden
I
of
like
Eden.
The way that you be looking when you come through to my shows.
That's
boy,
right.
If you really about it, ain't nobody gotta know. He was texting all these other girls like, wait up, hold the phone. Now I'm getting to that money with my sisters back
I
at
said,
home.
Don't you get it fucked up, I wonder. That I make you wonder what's under my suit. You read the Santa, that's on me. You really did a number up on me.
I'm trying to fill it up. I got some hoes to plug. I call you, you come fill it up. Is that real enough? Miss, I just get you and me call you. I find inside your phone. Come and need a little flex. I'm at that point me on. You not gonna catch me in my zone. It's been weeks since we freak love. You a bups, that's how I treat ya. Put you on the shelf when I'm done. You a trophy kill. Apple tint mix, red stripe, and we low key chill. You see me? But you not gonna play these games with me. Text me back now before me hype up and tweet. Driving a Alexa for your next gal for pre. Pass by your yard so your BM could see. I'm not into the plaything, so me beg you please. Don't never, 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 never try play with keys. I'm holding all the stripes and the solids in my pocket. Keeping the black ball till I'm ready to knock it.
Wine pun it, baby. You know I said that like a drive me crazy. Stereotypes about what a lady should and shouldn't do. Also 1980. I told you in a cipher, you know what the rule is. Only step into the bedroom if the shoe fits. One kiss, two kiss, red lips, blue tips. I ain't even trying to do it to you if you're too lit. Let's get gone. It's a celebration, bitches. 36C, baby, but I'm double delicious. Run me like a genie and I'ma grant you wishes. Catch you on your knees like you're trying to make me miss it. But I don't miss when shots fire. Poca latte,
like the Curry, Steph and Aisha shit, but we more like belly.
Guilty pleasure, Cardi B, that new Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy. Be careful.
To a piece of shit. Man, I thought you would've learned your lesson. About liking pictures, not returning texts. I guess it's bomb, man, I get the message. You still stutter after certain questions. You keep in contact with certain exes. Do you though? Trust me, nigga, it's cool though. Said that you was working, but you out here chasing culo. And putas, chilling poolside, living two lives. I could've did what you did to me, to you a few times. But if I did decide to slide, find a nigga, fuck him, suck his dick. You would've been pissed, but that's not my MO. I'm not that type of bitch. And karma for you is gonna be who you end up with.
Don't make me sick, nigga. Baby, I adore. I gave you everything was mine, is yours. I want you to live your life, of course. But I hope you get what you dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me. Before all of this,
Guess you acting out now, you got an audience. Tell me where your mind is, drop a pin, what's the coordinates? You might have a fortune, but you lose me, you still gonna be misfortunate, nigga. Tell me, this love's got you this fucked up in the head. You want some random bitch up in your bed? She don't even know your middle name. Watch her, cause she might steal your chain. You don't want someone who love you instead? I guess not though, blame, disrespect. You're nothing like the nigga I met. Talk to you crazy and you quick to forget. You even got me tripping. You got me looking in the mirror different. Thinking I'm flawed because you inconsistent. Between a rock and a hard place, the mud and the dirt. It's gonna hurt me to hate you, but loving you's worse. It all stopped so abrupt, you started switching it up. Teach me to be like you so I cannot give a fuck. Free to mess with someone else, I wish these feelings come out.
You're all just tuning in. You listen to CITR 101.9, Ninth Wave, episode 38. With Dylan and Chelsea in the studio. We got a lot of ground to cover, and we got a few selections from the man Dylan. We'll be in the first one here, and then get into some conversation. First pick, JB, the first lady, still here.
We're still here. The father in sight, women warrior fight. I wanna break the cycle in the circle, non-verbal, nocturnal, no dress rehearsal. A head by a century, awaken the spirit. Be fearless and clear it, no limit. I spit it, I risk it, I hit it. It's written, never bitten, archived for my descendants. It's important to make a presence. Representations at all levels. We are all rebels sent from the heavens at 11:11. So meet me at 7:11 to dismantle depression, to gather, to master and shatter the system. I know what's missing. I see the gaps. I have the maps to take it back. Come on. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here, we still here. Enrage
in resistance. Take back the land is the business. Step up and witness. Speak up, go the distance. The time is now. Show them how. They didn't want us to powwow, so we made a powwow. Now allow your powwow. Full push-ups to dance your style. I'm hella versatile. My indigenous girl lifestyle. You check my Insta profile. Too quick to reconcile without the truth or impact the youth. You tell the lies of the voting booth. We'll make it smooth. Elders and POCs do all the work. Make moves. Culture vultures waiting to play and take away what is sacred. Internalized self-hatred. Culture lost. Nothing to show, they try to be a bro. Be careful and let them know we are here and we in control. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation, baiting, dividing and shading. But we
CITR 101.9. Listen to Still Here off Meant to Be by JB, the First Lady. Very tight MC in town.
Yeah, I like that track. I saw it on Sydney Eva's Instagram, and I thought that that just embodied a lot of what hip-hop was founded on, some of my favorite tracks, some of the tracks that really helped me out personally, achieve goals, realize the world around us, and there's a lot of great energy in that song.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing a lot of good work.
True hip-hop.
True hip-hop. Dope hip-hop, like phenomenal hip-hop. Welcome to the studio, Dylan, the homie, ex-roommate, yeah. Always friend.
Long time buddy, collaborator, and I think the being on this show is sort of the result of us having many a conversation where we thought, well, you know what, why don't we put this on the air? You know, oftentimes when we just hang out naturally, we encompass a lot of grounds in our conversation, and I think that's the great part about radio. I listen to a lot of CBC, and oftentimes it comes across very trite, but, you know, we can cover a lot of different topics, and we have a lot of commonality, and oftentimes it comes back to a sense of revolution and tear things up with culture. Appreciate that.
It's true, and I appreciate our conversations as well, which is, like, definitely the reason why I want to have you in the studio. And once again, I have Chelsea Nicolette MacArthur of the studio. She joined us for episode 36.
Hailing from Phoenix, Arizona, by way of Kelowna.
And art, yes.
I attended art school out there, film school in Phoenix, Arizona.
So you attended film school? I mean, of course you attended film school in Phoenix, Arizona. I guess I don't know when you would have attended film school here, but...
Yes, since I've just arrived recently.
What was that? So I'm a scenic artist and set painter.
Hold on.
I want to ask, interview yourself. My first question,
who are you?
I'm Dylan Humphreys. I am a cartoonist, scenic painter, visual artist, and... can't stop making pictures, really, working with the surface.
And who are you?
My name is Chelsea, and I'm just a person.
But so, if film-wise, what was your interest?
Interest, definitely screenwriting, character development, kind of just that general making people care about a character. And then I really love sound design, as well as lighting.
Those are great, great fields. More important than paint. Let's just say that.
How dare you?
I disagree.
I just joke.
So, I mean, let's jump right into it. The last song we heard is JB, the First Lady, and she's talking about how we're still here. And I know a lot of the struggle with the First Nations community is having a framework and platform to be heard. We talk about truth and reconciliation. With the Canadian government, which, I mean, I think for a lot of people is too little too late or really just kind of nothing at all. Reparations and payment out to people who have suffered the plight of residential schools, which is also too little too late. And, I mean, as colonizers, as all of us being colonizers in one way or another, what is your knowledge of the struggles of First Nations people, and how do you guys feel like it's important to be educated in that as people who may not necessarily have to address it? You know what I mean? Like the whole idea of being an ally. Like, what do you know of what has happened in Canada with First Nations people, and how do you feel like educating yourself is to the advantage of the cause?
I personally just feel like it's my duty to educate myself on that and just bring light to it and awareness anywhere you can. To me, it's devastating that people are treated like they aren't even humans. I mean, people go missing, women go missing, and the list could go on forever. And I would just hope that these people can just be treated like humans, because we are all the same.
And I would agree. And I would also call back to my education with Emily Carr University, which was sticky, to say the least, upon I chose to take some Aboriginal art history classes through Raymond Boisjoli, who's a great visual artist here. And what was introduced was sort of the concept of Emily Carr being a noble savage. She really put herself against Indigenous culture and took advantage of it at a point when it was being dismantled, taken apart. And there's the concept that Thomas King talks about, you know, about the dying culture and the depiction of that as a freeze frame of that. What I like about that song that we listened to by JB the First Lady was that there's the extreme sense of empowerment that hip hop provides that you hear in music from 80s hip hop and the gentrification that was going on in New York, and also early 90s, you know, LA gangster rap of the, you know, around the LA riots and that sort of nature. And I feel like that is one of my favorite qualities of the genre, is this boombastic, you have to hear it sort of quality. And I really appreciate my culture having a bit of that, you know, and that's something I've tried to put forward. Oftentimes it's difficult, you know, for instance, with art, there's oftentimes a push for a commercialization or a digestion of something easy to handle. But what's really important is the enlightenment behind it, and that it allows artists to speak freely and from their own experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, I mean, to get into art and music as a form of activism, or as an insurgent art, whether it be poetry or rapping. Like right now, we have a kind of standoff on Burnaby Mountain in regards to the Kinder Morgan pipeline, and there's a lot of arguments coming up from friends of mine. And otherwise, talking about, oh yeah, well, you know, all the protesters up there, they better, you know, count their blessings for the oil produced clothing that they're wearing and the cars that they drive up to the protest. And I was like, well, I know a lot of people who are busing to that protest, and I know a lot of people who don't consume in that way. How do you feel about initiatives like that, and how do you feel that arts and the art that you guys do or at least ingest, how do you feel like that has a role on how you go about addressing these situations? Because for me, I have a full-time job. I can't always be at the protests when they're happening, but I support the movement, I support the cause, and I try and talk about it as much as possible, as I'm doing right now. But art as activism, how is that important? And when we look at artists like Lawrence Paul Yoxwell Lupton, who may be looked at in a negative light by a lot of people, like he's too maybe one way, like not that he's not regarded as a phenomenal artist, but what is it like, the feeling of drawing the line between being talking about political issues and then just kind of avoiding that and staying safe? Like, how have you had to grasp? Because you make a lot of work that is politically overt, and you kind of don't give a F.
Yeah, well, and Chelsea, thanks for giving me the mic on this, because I definitely have a mixed opinion about it because as an employee of the film industry, I work with paints. I work with noxious chemicals often that are produced by these means of, you know, destroying the environment. And I work for, you know, wealthy individuals that are oftentimes, you know, part of the system and hiding their wealth through these means of production of our entertainment and endorsing the way of life that we are currently living in. But I also understand that there's an extreme importance for us to move forward. Cannot, won't be stopped is sort of the beginning of the activist movement in the 20th century with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And I feel like the world we live in is much greater for those efforts. And those efforts can't be stopped. We can't disrespect the rights of individuals finding themselves like the government of Canada is going to have to negotiate the fact that the United Nations ratification for the respective indigenous rights is definitely in flux of what the federal government wants out of these projects. And I think that it's often sort of a mixed bag because, you know, we're sitting here at UBC. There's plenty of students and amazing engineers and people that are
stolen native land.
And also, but with a very great, like a multicultural background. If you walk around the campus, there's people of all different backgrounds. And there's no telling me that we can't decide the future and engineer it and create jobs based on that. And I come from a working class background, and I understand the fact that there's a lot of people out there that need to put, you know, food on the table and survive and get forward. But it's also that I think we need to start being more critical of the politicians and this sort of dangling of the carrot, the trickle down system, which is like a, you know, 30 plus year old concept that doesn't really work. You know, you want to throw numbers at us and think, oh, billions of dollars towards the economy. We know those are going to end up in offshore accounts and go to the wealthiest of the population. So why don't we start thinking about how as a community we can come together and figure out how we're going to work on a global level, a national level, and on a, you know, municipal, local level, and create a system of life that's not going to chase us off the earth and destroy the planet that we live in. You know, the greatest economy here is tourism, and the beautiful coast that we have doesn't need to be tarnished and just eradicated. And I haven't seen a starfish in decades, so I mean, let's appreciate that. And I don't want to hear the silencing of people that are trying to fight for that, which is oftentimes a rhetoric of coming from the right. And it's the same old tactics, and I think that Trudeau certainly has a lot of incentives based on his name, and we all need to start thinking a little bit more critically through avenues such as this, socialized media and real conversation, not just look into the big brother voice, you know. And it's funny because look at how that big brother voice is working, you know, Facebook and Trump and these investigations that are going on. We're starting to really see in a critical on paper basis where the corruption is happening. And to me, that's inspiring. That's inspiring, you know?
I think it is inspiring. Where do you sit in this, and how do you, Chelsea, how do you navigate a tumultuous political climate that exists right now amongst creatives? And I mean, right now the thing at hand is people of color and women's rights and intersectionality as a framework for all helping each other. Like, what is important to you in that, and how do you deal with that day to day?
Day to day, I would just say breaking down all of the stigmas that we're faced with. What else would I say? Day to day, I would say don't eat everything that is fed to you. I think you should really go out there and find out for yourself. And just how these people are truly affected by this from the day that they set face on the earth. And when you don't experience that, unfortunately, you're never going to know what it feels like. And I just think that that's something that means a lot to me, to give people a voice that don't have it.
What was your experience like in school, in film school? And like, are you still in debt? Are you out of that debt?
Out of that debt, simply because I had grandparents and parents who, you know, sent me to school. I have tons of friends, tons of people around me that are still paying that off. The art school I went to promised a whole bunch of things that they didn't provide.
Mm-hmm. As art schools do,
the amount of sexism that I face daily, as well as other women that I was creating things with, was just horrifying. As far as film goes, you can sit in a room all day and study film theory, but I do think that you need to get your hands on the equipment. It's something that's consistently evolving, and you really have to kind of scrape your own knees to know that it hurts, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And
it does.
I think that you don't need art school.
I think so as well. Let it be known, artists of the world, you don't need art school. It can give you beneficial skills, and there's nothing wrong with trying your hand at that, particularly if it's a financially viable option. A lot of the time, us artists don't, it seems like we don't come from affluence, and we end up taking out huge loans to make this art happen, and there's no guaranteed returns. There are the exceptions. Some people have everything lined up and they step right into some sort of pay gig or occupation. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like DIY is very important, and that's kind of the next thing I want to get into. Dylan is in the bathroom. But how do you feel about DIY, like as far as starting your own initiatives, starting your own movements? There's the man right now. You wanna retrieve him? Oh, he's in. Oh, he made it.
He hacked the mainframe.
Oh, he left the door open because he's a smart guy. yes. We're just talking. Dylan, join us. We're just talking about DIY as groundwork for creative endeavors and the importance of it versus not selling out, but being more engaged in maybe public works or things that have government funding. For instance, a BIA run street festival, a mural festival, which is backed by and started by a lot of fantastic artists in the city, but a part of it has to kind of accommodate the idea of gentrification in a city and help expand possibilities for street art, but at the same time in a city where it's a lot about big business and
I feel like it's always such a fine balance that's left to artists to negotiate. I mean, for instance, like I mentioned with work in film, after graduating from art school, I worked, you know, as a sandblaster for BC Hydro and that. And kind of because my feelings about the art world, I love art, but I hate the art world. You know, it's either you're sticking to your guns and making your pure art and looking for collectors, and oftentimes collectors are, you know, involved with these types of industries or sordid types of business. And oftentimes I feel like it's the artists that are kind of called into question harder than the money behind it. It's great to see things like the Vancouver Mural Fest happen because there's a lot of up-and-coming artists and a lot of...
Piece to Vancouver Mural Fest.
Piece to Drew Young and, you know, Michael Bach and all the crew. They're doing some great things for the city, and I understand that it's a new movement for Vancouver, and there's a lot of growing pains that come.
It's only
along
2 years
with
in,
that.
Right?
Right, and of course, when it comes to funding these kind of projects, they have to look for where it's going to happen, where the dreams are going to come true, and oftentimes, and that's the thing I really come down to challenging or finding myself questioning about the art world is about where are you finding that investment for your dreams. And oftentimes, I mean, look at what happened in New York with the Rothschilds funding basically all this art that was popping out of the streets and the little studios and galleries and that kind of thing, it's almost like a sort of a washing of hands on in the groups of certain interests, right? Like,
how do you guys feel about fine art or this almost like sugar-coated idea of what art can, like, I don't know what the art scene is like in Arizona, but like, for instance, every kind of hub seems to have its own kind of thing, and it's almost more prestige over just raw talent. I think we're stepping away from that, but it always kind of seems to go back to the idea that, I mean, it's always been about who you know, but I feel like for the artist that is not well equipped in business and, say, social media, or doesn't want to be a brand, it's often hard for them to detach from their raw creativity and just put themselves out there. Whereas, you know, I heard this quote, like there's people who are way less talented than you who are going to get way farther than you simply because they believe in themselves, simply because they blast out their shit on the internet. They're relentless with their self-promotion. And there's this fine balance between being a humble artist and trying to blow your shit out of the water. A quote from Cecil Taylor, who died this past weekend, the beginning of the show commemorated him. He said, "Everything I've lived, I am. I'm not afraid of European influences. The point is to use them, as Ellington did, as part of my life as a Black American. Some people say I'm atonal. It depends on your definition of the term. I've been atonal in live performances. I have not. Basically, it's not important if a certain chord happens to fit some student's definition of atonality. A man like Thelonious Monk is concerned with growing and enriching his musical conception, and what he does comes as a living idea out of his life experience, not from theory." How do you guys, as creatives, flush out your creativity, and what are your beliefs on creating out of, like, divine intervention, like some sort of, like, you know, creative juice that just comes to you from abroad? And then what are your views on creativity as a well thought out statement? Do you feel the need to be politically overt or say something bold, given today's climate, whatever that may be in your mind? Or do you feel that being passive as an artist, in that you're not necessarily going to speak out against something?
Okay, I love that, because I think I might have an essay for that.
Oh,
I'm wondering, Chelsea, if
no,
you have any thoughts
ahead,
about...
No, go ahead, please. Well, follow up, it's
from,
okay.
Okay, because I'm curious from the stateside point of view as well. But I think... again, I'm coughing because I have to work in a studio environment right now, and there's lead in the rafters, and... You know, I have to do that.
Not this studio. Not this studio.
not at UBC.
This is a very very clean. very clean studio.
It's a dirty film studio at a location for a show I will not disclose.
Film doesn't treat their employees with much respect. Let it be known.
But it's come out of a need to pay the bills, and I think making it work as an artist in Vancouver, across the board for all of these different artists that I know, they've like put on the hustle, and I'm proud of the community for really doing that. And I think it oftentimes comes, like, very hard to focus on a political issue. Oftentimes, you know, you're asked, can I get a blue one? Can I get one for above the couch? You know, real estate here is one of the biggest industries, and oftentimes art in history follows that industry that makes a civilization successful. It's out of privilege. Art is a privilege, and it's very privileged to make art, to have the time to make art, right?
I appreciate that opinion. I mean, one could disagree and say art is just free and anyone is capable of it, but I do agree with the fact that there are certain people in positions where art is not an option.
Well, look at the Medici and all these different civilizations, the Romans. They had a certain sway that they were able to order this art. And those
or certain countries that aren't allowed to make art outside of a certain...
censorship and criminality,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, and then that comes back to almost an idea about what is making art right now. and so, you know, this Mira Kami show at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Mm-hmm. Oh, I really like it.
I haven't been. Have you been?
No, I haven't. But
I haven't been. We're gonna go.
You definitely have to go.
Yeah.
But
May something it ends.
Imagine yourself walking into the gallery.
Is that how he talks?
No, I'm just doing this sort of Owen Wilson. I've got a lot of voices, but so you, the second floor of the art gallery, full of selfie opportunities, bright colors, very immersive environment.
Best believe I'll have selfies.
You have a great demographic of people there. A lot of people coming into the gallery. It's amazing to see, finally, an inclusive variety of the public enjoying art. But what you have is this sort of difficult terrain, because all of a sudden this art that is actually introducing difficult concepts of spirituality and the soul through life is delivered in bright colors, and the artist is trying to package this in a way that encourages the viewer to take selfies, to participate, to feel like they are really there. And art doesn't necessarily have to placate to those terms. Downstairs on the first floor, there's a show of expressionist artwork. But last time I was there,
so it's not all Murakami.
No, on the first floor, there's these German expressionist works, mm-hmm. that are some of my favorite. They were produced in the interwar period, like Cathe Kollowitz and Max Beckmann and George Gross, and some of these works in art school that I really
take note.
Always wanted to see. Like, there's nothing glitz or glamour about them, but it's the body producing these works on whatever they had, like envelopes, dirty pieces of paper. You know, you have the effects, the detritus, and the real gritty material of the work and how it's produced. I love that. I love seeing that, because that's what shows the artists in that time and the challenges they had to produce it. I want to see that. I want to make art for myself, and that's kind of, I've taken a back step, because I want to make art for me.
Good.
If I don't like it, I don't like it.
Gosh darn. How do you feel about...
Chelsea?
Art?
How do you feel about art, and how do you feel about inclusivity of art? I mean, I think it's quite obvious that film, in regards to inclusivity, there's a disparity, less so now, but it's still huge, of female directors, DPs, heads of departments, and it's been a struggle. How do you feel in arts in general, inclusivity has come along? Like, how do you feel like inclusivity has progressed as a woman, or just in general for people who don't aren't included?
Yeah,
a lot
I
of the time.
Feel like the trail is being blazed by people who haven't given up, and I can't commend those people enough, because sometimes when you have enough of those experiences, you just stop. I mean, I've been on sets where they've said, yeah, you can do the slate, and that's the only job that they've given me, or just anything like that. So I would say that we still have such a long way to go, because sometimes people will just pick a woman to be on set because they want to be seen as, oh, look, we have a woman here.
Or they want a woman to stare at. As I've experienced in a crew that I was working with, I tried to get a female PA on set a job because she had done grip work before, and I introduced her to my key. And he proceeded to just talk about how gorgeous she was and how beautiful of a grip she'd be. And it was less about any of her work qualifications, more about how attractive she was, and it blew me away, because I had to be this friend who I tried to recommend asked me, is he a total creep? And my gut reaction was no, and then I thought about it and I was like, oh, perhaps. And my privilege as a male allows me to kind of ignore the fact that he's a creep. And I didn't even think about it from the perspective of a female who would be made to feel super uncomfortable and in a weird position if she worked under this guy. Like, how dare he talk to her like that? And I wouldn't wish her working under him under any circumstances, because you should never be made to feel unsafe in a working environment where we're supposed to be treated equally. And so that comes to my next question. the idea of a safe space. Do you think safe space exists? And what does safe space mean to you? And you as a female and you as a identified male, like, what does safe space mean to you? And Hannah, where have you maybe experienced it, and how is it exemplified in your life? What is a safe space for you? Is it your bedroom? Is it amongst homies? Like, what does safe space mean to you?
A safe space that isn't simply my own walls that I live in is going to be spaces that I've built, because as far as other people go, it's not going to be a safe space. How to make a safe space would be to always be transparent. I always try to tell people, if you see something unjust going down, please try to bring awareness to it and always stand up for yourself. Safe space, as far as being a woman goes, I don't know if that exists.
Not the first time I've heard that answer on this show. I've asked that question to several interviewees, and they've said, I don't think it exists.
Yeah, that doesn't sit well with me, and I apologize for the pause there, because, you know, as a person who has experienced trauma, been through court, had to learn through the law, there should be every space within the law should be safe for everyone. That's what it says on paper, you know? And unfortunately, through, I think, corruption of various levels, that gets disrespected. But the courts, I think, have a long way to go. There's a lot of good people working in these systems, in the judicial end of things. I really just wish that it was there on the police front, on the sort of workplace front, on the sort of the workplace and public sections, because everybody has that right. And, you know, as well as, unfortunately, women, people of color, others, as would typically be outlined.
Yeah, people are considered other.
The system also just it's messed up, and it will bite you in a lot of ways, in ways that you wouldn't expect. And I think that there's a lot that needs to be done, especially in Canada, in terms of updating our judicial system to really protect people and to seek real justice. And I've experienced it myself, and it hurts. It really does hurt to feel like, oh wow, they just got away, or it really didn't matter that much, and what I went through apparently wasn't that important.
It is important.
It is, and a part of, I think, like, an important part of this discussion is that we all have unique experiences of being othered, whether it's you with your trauma, you as a female in a male-dominated world and industry, and me as a person of color. I think we all have a unique perspective, and I think it's really important for us to be able to come together and have these discussions. And that's kind of what I wanted to facilitate. I mean, I had a loose groundwork for what I wanted to talk about, and I feel like we kind of went down a really organic path. It's 11:11, so make a wish.
can we put this down in like an essay or something?
Yeah, I want to get, like, we're over time, but I want to continue the rest. I really don't have much else to say. I played Cardi B earlier.
Let's switch it up.
How y'all feel about Cardi B? As he coughed. As somebody who was kind of ostracized as being too extra in mainstream media, and then has continued to wow the world with Bruno Mars and whatnot, and she really comes from a humble place and has kind of revolutionized what it means to be a wild, out of control street, like, the thing in a lot of the entertainment industry is when a woman kind of acts out or is a little too bold, they just get kind of shoved under the rug as being whatever it may be, hoes, whatever. But I feel like a lot of that wasn't put on Cardi B because she was just not having it. She was like, it doesn't fucking matter to me. Like, I'm just gonna blow up and do what the heck I want. And I at first I was like, she's too much. And then she keeps breaking records and doing these amazing interviews where I'm like, what the heck? What's your guys' take on this whole Cardi B situation? And how do you guys feel she's helping give voice to women? How do you feel about it?
I fully back Cardi B. I think about Cardi B when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning. Call him out. I mean, she's a phenomenal human being, and she's also so educated and respectful at the same time. And just because you're a woman doesn't mean you can't be wild. I mean, come on.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know what? I had mixed feelings.
Everyone did. No. Nobody was a fan of Cardi B right away.
The more I listen to her music, I appreciate what she's saying. But I also feel like the entertainment industry needs to break outside of having these sort of magazine cover performers and looking at, you know, the artists out there that are just getting totally passed over. They have something real to say.
That's
and
very true.
I have a hard time with that because while I appreciate what she's doing, I just get frustrated because I know that there's a lot of really hardworking people with something to say that are getting totally passed over because they don't fit that typical. Because
they're not marketable.
We want to,
but she is hardworking with something to say.
Totally,
and she has been muzzled to a degree, and regardless, kind of broken free.
And I have this feeling that she's someone that is going to continue to push boundaries with the dialogue in her music as she gets more popular. I don't think she's going to be quiet or fit into certain boundaries, and I appreciate that. I hope that she maybe, you know, brings out other facets of that, you know, kind of movement that, like I said, aren't like in the status quo or aren't like in that package, like, you know, because she's attractive, you know. She's out there dressing up and stuff, and people like to see that.
How dare you debase her to such. I'm joking.
Uh-oh. I'm joking. I put my foot
in
my mouth.
Her next track is going to be about Dylan.
Dylan ain't shit.
Fuck you.
FM.
You a little scrawny.
Okay, we're 15 minutes over. We're going to wrap it up. We'll be done
in the next
five. I want to start off with this Trying People by De La.
Perfect.
It's a very monumental track and emotional for me.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I heard it, I think I cried.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think De La had kind of poured their heart out about their home life and stuff on a track.
On my iPod Nano.
Yeah. What does this track mean to you?
You know, it's coming of age, and it's about the genre coming of age, and it's about these guys that are really coming back and looking at their cultural output, and they're thinking about it, and they're becoming adults. And I get goosebumps thinking about that because I think I'm at that point now. I'm starting to think about, like, where am I going? What am I doing? And how is this effective for those around me and myself? It's just a great song, people. We really hope you enjoy it if you're hearing it for the first time.
This is the first of two songs. I apologize to any listeners out there that were expecting more of the Ghost Mix. But we're getting into the final two songs of Dylan Humphrey's selections, the first of which is Trying People by De La Soul off the Artificial Intelligence album Bionics. It's called Trying People. You're listening to CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave with Dylan and Chelsea.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, what up, man? It's me. Just calling to see, if possible, if you have any time today or within the next couple of days, if you're in the studio or if you're at home or car, whatever, that song that is called Trying or something Mace was telling me that I needed to hear, he said it was amazing. Whew, the way he was talking, man, I want to hear it.
Another lost in the pack. We call shack shit, you know, laugh it off. The years just blow by. My eyes stay fixed, but the picture's kinda out of focus. I cry a lot, but admit to it. Enjoying life now, but I've been through it. Sometimes I wish that I can go back. No bills, no kids, just getting towed back. I want a wife.
I love women. How could I front like I don't be in love with them? A little man that I could teach. A little sand, but not the beach. I figure excess, I only bring an excessive amount of fuss. So when I'm gone, make sure the headstone reads, he did it for us. I'm like a modern day Jesus. I cherish warm thoughts like a gray goose. And float soft kisses to my baby.
That day's little girl.
Yeah, respect for that. She gon' be somebody instead of somebody, baby mama. You see young minds and now made of armor. I'm trying to pop a hole in your Yankee cap. Absorb me. The skies over your head ain't safe no more. And hip-hop ain't your home. And if it is, you fucking up the crib, son. You make life look like I don't wanna live one. You might as well hold your breath until you die in the corner somewhere, bent over in the crevice. This God theory overcomes the worst of weathers. As long as you're willing to try, you want a good start, homie. You want a good start, so get to trying. People, are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Are you really ready?
We wanna be ready.
Ready for the change that may approach you?
Yeah.
Follow down the path that you're supposed to.
Yeah.
People, are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Are you really ready to try? Mistakes are trials that we learn from. In order to live life, you must earn one. People, are you ready?
Throughout my change to grow, some of my people got left behind. They didn't listen for the gun as I leap from off the line. 13 years deep in this marathon I'm running. Paid dues and still got bills to pay. When I came back around the way, old friends gave me dead eyes and fake smiles half wide. We were supposed to rid the world of danger. These days we not had the small talk like polite strangers. It's natural to fall off, just land close to the tree. I'll be there if they need me to be. And I know all my local shorties, cause they all know who I am. And lately wanna flip grammar instead of grams, like that's the only choice they got. They tell me how they gonna shake up the game, but came to me to see if I can give them guidance to change. Shit, y'all, I need guidance myself. And I chisel right words to make gems. Got fans around the world, but my girl's not one of them. And my relationship's a big question, cause my career's a clear hindrance to her progression. Said she needs a man and our kids need a father. I'm not at all ready to hear her say don't bother and break. And this I know I can't take, but C. Smith said to hold on. My brother Luck said to hold on. My nigga Dave said to hold on. My nigga Mace said to hold on. Yo, Maceo, we need to hold on. Yo, y'all, we need to hold on.
Check one, one, one.
Hey, hey, hey.
Any of you quick rundown of the tracks we played tonight? We started off with Cecil Taylor Quartet, Advanced Jazz, went into Lakeisha Benjamin off Retox, Get Down, into Tanika Charles, Waiting off Soul Run album, into Shiro Schwartz, See the Light, Okote Soul Sounds, Pirata, into Psychic Mirrors, Charlene, into Your Teeth on My Neck off the new Kali Uchis, into Here Comes the Big One by Knower, who is going to be in town March May 8th, into Cardi B, Be Careful. No, it didn't. It was into Sorority from Toronto with On Me single, into Cardi B, into Durando featuring Tall Black Guy, into JB the First Lady. And that song you just heard was Trying People of Artificial Intelligence, Bionics. And the final song we're going to play tonight...
Joe's drummer in the Mescaleros, Johnny Appleseed.
We're 20 minutes over time.
That's my pick. And I know we made a lot of topics blend together and hit a lot of points. But to me, Joe's drummer is one of my favorite artists. He's like my compass. And I think he's just such a great musician and artist. He... really brought people closer together, and he believed in the strength and community. He's punk rock and anti-establishment, and he really just wanted to bring everybody together to decide where we were going. And, you know, this song, it's about the bees, you know, the environment and the people, and let's just all work together, yo.
I agree. Apologize. I think I may need a little bit more time on my show if I'm going to adequately do this. I hope nobody gets mad at me. Peace to Madeline. Peace to Dosa Factory. Peace to Steve the Gecko. And
this is Steve, I miss that boy.
And from Texas, I also played Ocote Soul Sounds and Psychic Mirrors. Psychic Mirrors is from Florida. But Ocote Soul Sounds, they formed out of Texas. So peace to Texas artists.
And also Nardwar, you're the man.
Yeah.
And also, hi, Mom. I hope you're listening. Love you.
Yeah, peace to the moms. Peace to Chelsea's mom.
Peace, Mom. I love you, Mom.
Can I get a station ID from each of you? And just need you to say, my name is... Your name?
My name is Dylan Humphreys.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Ninth Wave. Can you say that? Just introduce yourself and then say you're listening to Ninth Wave on CITR 101.9.
You're listening to CITR Ninth Wave 109. Point FM. What is that again?
No,
you said it so fast.
It doesn't have to be okay. Okay, I'm gonna mimic you.
You can edit that after.
This is Dylan Humphreys, and you're listening to Ninth Wave on CITR 101.9 FM.
My name is Dylan Humphreys. You're listening to Ninth Wave on CITR 101 FM.
Hi, my name is Chelsea MacArthur, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave.
That's right. We're going to get into this final song, Johnny Appleseed by Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. Thank you. You've listened to episode 38. Sorry for the rambling and ranting. Sorry for being 25 minutes over. Love you. Love you.
Take care, everybody. Wear your PPE. Work safe.
See you next week.
change your mind, change.